You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
You call that a news update? This is a news update. It's Neighbourhood Watch.
Hello, Annika.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, good. How are you?
Not too bad.
That is brilliant to hear. I'm glad that you are on the show today in the midst of sorting out your life to move.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. That's all sorted. Don't worry.
Oh, my God. Aren't you not going for a while? Yeah. That's very organized. Yeah.
No, I've got the plane ticket. I've got the accommodation. I'm just going to wait to get on the plane now, really.
Oh, my goodness.
Exciting stuff.
I
do need to buy a suitcase, though. That's all I have to do.
Might be a bit important.
I do need that.
I still don't really know what I'm going to do with New Year's, to be honest, and I'm going camping in the same city that I live in. So I will aspire for your level of organisation.
Yeah. Oh, no.
So modest.
Wing it, I think.
So we are having our Best of 2016 show. We're doing our favourite interviews or talking to people about their year in review. And so, because it is my last wire and it is your last wire, and we're having a big
BFM's last wire of the year.
BFM's last wire of the year. Like, Amanda keeps trying to include BFM in the party as well. Like, she's like, but BFM, like,
the news.
Anyway, so we are talking to you about three things. But first of all, one of your favorite, maybe isn't the correct term, but the first story you wanted to talk about was the federal election, who won and lost, and what is the current state of Australian politics. Amanda, this isn't Amanda's favorite story either.
Yeah, well, elections are always interesting things, aren't they? And this year was probably no exception as far as politics goes. It was the big headline of the year, and yes, it probably wasn't favorite. It's probably the wrong word to use there. It's just something that happened. And we have to talk about it. So we'll talk about it. This election was interesting in the fact that I think we talked many months ago, the fact that it was a double dissolution election, which means the House of Representatives and the Senate all went to the polls at the same time, which is quite rare. These things only happen when certain bills can't get passed, and this was the Workers' Union Bill, which is still having trouble getting passed, but that's a whole other story and a very, very boring story at that, so we'll leave that there. we went to the polls early, and it was a they're never pleasant things. I mean, the good thing about Australian elections is they're over within the month, unlike, you know, something like the US, which drags on for two bloody years. So we've got that going, I guess. But the outcome was not a pleasant one. The Liberal Coalition managed to just hold on to a slight majority there. We looked like we were going to have a hung parliament for a while, but they just held on there. We didn't know the final result until like a week after. So for a week after the election, we were like, what is going on? What just happened there? But the big story out of this election was, well, we may as well have a hung parliament given how many independents we have. One of those, not an independent necessarily, but one of those big minor party leaders is the one and only Pauline Hanson. I had to bring her up. That's what I mean. It's not my favourite topic, but, you know, that's what the election gave us. And only this week a report came out which basically said that confidence in democracy has hit a record low in Australia, with Australians being disaffected with the political class. And that's pretty much where Pauline Hanson came from. And the scary thing is, given the makeup of the parliament, because of that election, she has quite a bit of sway, so to speak.
That's terrifying.
So we haven't had too many scary policy changes yet. They're on their Christmas break at the moment, so it's been pretty quiet lately. It'll be interesting to see. You know, I can just imagine one of those bills coming up, and she has quite a lot of power in that sense, as do many of our other One Nation MPs as well. So that's what our election gave us this year, and it's going to be an interesting 3.5 more years before the next one, I think.
I really hope that if I ever get disaffected, I don't also get, you know, just super racist. I feel like that's a one hell of a swing if you're going
to
be
I don't see why racism has to come with it.
No, right? Why did Pauline Hanson? Why, you know? Anyway, they shouldn't be synonymous. But there you go. In other Australian just depressing, news, just depressing yeah. news. Oh no,
I'm
Australian,
sorry.
Australian and depressing aren't synonymous with news, Amanda.
We're a great country, honestly. Come visit. It's not that bad. It's just happened to be a big story.
Yeah, we've got to talk about the big ones, you know, and the big ones are rarely nice. So the Nauru files, has anything changed? And I like that in your email, in brackets, you wrote nope.
Yeah. That's basically the gist. So, nothing has changed. You could have done this story a year ago and nothing's changed. I mean, what the big thing with the Nauru files was this year, the point of that was it was supposed to maybe bring about this big change. You know, the Guardian newspaper leaked these so-called Nauru files, and it basically included about 2,000 leaked incident reports, which really quite graphically detailed systemic abuses that people suffered on Nauru. And even Manus Island as well, which is where offshore processing centres are. And of course, I mean, there was already a fair bit of not many people. I mean, the government doesn't have a great reputation when it comes to offshore processing, understandably. But they more or less, anytime something comes up about it, they sort of downplay the issue and say, you don't know what you're talking about, you don't understand, you know, we're doing this to stop the boat smugglers and so on. It's the same thing over and over again. So when these Nauru files came out, there was a bit of a... I don't know if optimistic is the right word, given the situation, but people are saying, oh, well, surely 2,000 leaked files, they've got to do something about this. I mean, you can't just leave it there. It's pretty obvious now that something dodgy is going on. I mean, to what extent may be unclear, but there is something going on there. And most people seem to agree with that. So there was a Senate inquiry to examine these abuse allegations after these were leaked. But nothing really came out of it, and I think that's the real shame of it as well. It's people almost have this sort of offshore processing fatigue. I mean, almost every other week, a story or another comes out detailing so-called abuse or things like that. But it's because nothing's happening. I find myself doing it. I read a story and go, oh, yeah, I mean, I read that story last week. It's quite unfortunate. And like I said, we were just talking about the makeup of the parliament and what's going on there. It's unlikely that things are going to change anytime soon. They're supposed to be shutting down the Manus Island Centre. PNG basically just said they ruled it unconstitutional and said you've got to get it off. That's been surprisingly quiet. There hasn't been much news of that lately, so it'll be interesting to see if that hopefully happens next year. But then you start to wonder where those people will go. There has actually been international coverage of our offshore processing. So the New York Times sort of infamously, just a couple of months ago, published this editorial saying... Australia's offshore detention policy is a disgrace, which is, you know, embarrassing, being an Australian and reading that, especially if you're living abroad. I'm sorry, that's not a very happy story, but it's something that it'll be interesting to examine and see where this goes next year, because, yeah, this year it's just been more of the same over and over again. So hopefully, fingers crossed, people don't let that, you know, offshore processing media story fatigue get to them and start to do something about it.
Yeah, it is. It's hard because the fatigue is real. I mean, I can only imagine being in Australia, and it's understandable because it is depressing, you know. And every week we're like, oh, here we go, like we're going to talk about this depressing offshore centre thing again. But you do need to keep talking about it.
It's so important.
Yeah. I'm sure there's
a hard line.
Yeah, there's some BFM listener in their car right now going, no, you don't. Like, I'm depressed. But you know, it's I think it is important to combat the fatigue by just sheer.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's
power
important not to feel helpless and sort of keep talking about it. That's the main thing. Any Australians listening, just keep talking about it. That, you know, you might feel powerless for a little while, but that's the best that you can do at this stage.
Mm. And also, just finally, this is, it says slow progress, which sounds optimistic. So Indigenous Australia, there has been slow progress on closing the gap.
Yeah, so it's a little bit more optimistic than the other ones. So it's been 10 years now since the government originally launched the Close the Gap campaign, so it's basically an annual Closing the Gap report, which looks at things like Indigenous life expectancy, school attendance, health, that sort of thing. They'll start with the bad news first. The bad news is more like the life expectancy gap is still around 10 years, which is not good, and that target is still not on track, so that's a severe problem there. On the positive side, you've got things like Indigenous child death rates have declined by about 33%, which is quite significant over a short period of time. Year 12 attainment rates have just gone up quite dramatically, which is also very, very good to see. And on top of that, there's been a lot of acknowledgement of Indigenous history this year as well. There's been a few discoveries made, which basically pushes back Indigenous history about 15,000 more years in Australia, which is huge. And that really, really helps with Indigenous history as well. There have been a lot of, there's been lots of conversations around the idea of whether or not we actually need to keep this Close the Gap program going or whether we should take another tactic or so on. But I think the important thing is everything that's, you know, there's a lot of bad news with Indigenous people in Australia, and it's important to acknowledge that. But also looking back 10 years ago, where we were at then to where we are now, we have actually made quite significant progress. And only within the past week, probably the best Indigenous story of the year was South Australian state government being the very first state in the country to actually talk about having an Indigenous treaty, which sounds crazy because, I mean, you know, in New Zealand, that's one of the first things you did.
Yeah. It was at the top of our to-do list.
Around to it. Yeah. Depressing in the fact that it took us this long, but, you know, the state government in South Australia is paying quite a significant amount of money to look at treaty talks. And, you know, a lot of cynical people would say, you know, treaties aren't worth much, but it really is a very symbolic step to actually healing a lot of the past wounds that have been caused. Mm. And hopefully it'll be a bit of a brighter year next year for Indigenous Australia, given what's the successes of this year.
And I'm sure that Amanda on the Friday Wire next year looks forward
Absolutely,
to reporting
yeah,
on all of
sure,
that.
For sure.
I hope they're much happier next year, yes.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
That would be good. That would be really good.
Thank you so much for speaking with me this year and for all of your contributions to BFM. And I hope
no worries, it's been fun.
I hope that you have a great time overseas. And
If you need a Europe correspondent, let me know.
Don't even joke about that, eh? Because we'll do it.
I'll email you.
Yeah, Shimina is probably in the newsroom already emailing you now.
I'm already committed to my station here, so I may as well do you guys as well.
Brilliant. Yeah. Just put us on a conference call.
Yeah.
Okay, brilliant. Well, back next year as the European correspondent. Thank you so much for everything this year. And we will speak again to your station. Is it Nicole taking over?
Yes, Nicole will be taking over, I think.
Great. Mm. That'll be great to start talking to her next year.
Brilliant. Thank you awesome. So much. I hope you have a great Christmas.
No worries.
And Happy New Year's.
You too.
That was Neighbourhood Watch. Ripper.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.